Welcome to the Generous Business Owner Podcast, where business owners gain inspiration and encouragement to live a legacy, not just leave one. And now your hosts, Jeff Thomas, Alan Barnhart, and Jeff Rutt.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's Generous Business Owner Podcast. My name is Jeff Thomas, and we have a very special guest with us today. Jake Bland is the CEO of Youth for Christ, but we have quite a story. You know, Jake, you speak a lot, obviously, at all kinds of events, usually Youth for Christ related, but you haven't always had a chance maybe to tell your story, right? So I thought this would be kind of fun to tell your story, because you spent some time in business before you got into ministry.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of times we have guests who, you know, they feel like they either have to leave business to be in ministry, or sometimes they think of the business as their ministry. Anyway, there's a lot of different models.
Right.
And you did leave business, kind of enter ministry, but I think those skills still translate. And we're really excited to just hear your story and what God's taken you through. And so we always just try to start with where did you grow up? What was your family like? That sort of thing. Maybe you can share that with us.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Jeff. It's such an honor to be here. And I love listening to your podcast.
Thank you.
So many amazing, wise guests. Just grateful to be here. When I think back on the early years, it was, I'm a Midwest kid, grew up south of Chicago, central Illinois.
Yeah.
Hardworking parents, loving parents. My mom's a preschool teacher. My dad's a career marketer.
And,
they taught me what it looked like to follow Jesus and work hard at a young age.
Yeah.
But when I reflect back on, you know, sort of those early years, you know, you said nobody ever gets to hear this part of
the story.
I made several attempts at sports and I was not any good at sports. But I told my parents that I wanted them to buy a piano. I wanted to be a piano singer, and they weren't musicians. And so they thought that was really interesting, but they took a risk. And you'll hear all throughout this story, people taking a risk, and that these pivotal moments emerge when someone takes a risk on you. And so when I reflect on those early years of life, what I realize is there's these pivotal moments where somebody took a risk. Like, I was the youth ministry brat as a kid. My parents were active in the church. They were volunteer youth workers. And I'm like this little kid hanging around the fire pit with all the teenagers. They don't know why this little kid's around. But my folks showed me what it looked like to invest in teenagers who were far from the church. And so, you know, as the story has its ironic twists and turns, you can reflect all the way back to that fire pit and those early values that my parents instilled at a very young age.
I think that's, thanks for sharing that story, because I think there's that seed that got planted. Of course, you're a kid.
Yeah.
You don't know how that's going to get watered or if,
right,
or maybe that's just what was happening at the time, but it's certainly come full circle. But there's quite a bit of circle before it comes full circle. So now let's continue. So we, not so much into the sports, but you did have kind of a ability in computers, sort of thing.
Right.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So my parents did their best to kind of nudge, you know, in the areas of strength, like I think all parents do, but it wasn't sports.
Yeah.
And it was music, but it clearly became early on some computers. And there was one teacher in middle school. It was a crazy story.
Okay.
You know, I know some of your guests talk about their illegal activity. Middle school, here's what happened. This teacher dares me to hack into the school network. And I took him up on the dare. And I look back on this situation as so much fun, but it took most of the semester, you know, I'm not in. All of a sudden, one day I'm in. And I realize I'm not just into one computer. I'm not just into one school. I'm into 11 schools behind
the entire district.
The entire school district. So I get in there and I don't know what to do. I didn't change grades or do anything weird like that. But I put up a timer that all the computers would have a black screen. It would say locked out by administrator. And then it would say Bland. I signed my name on it, Jeff. Not smart.
Always sign your name. You clearly had not watched it. Netflix was not around to see the movies of How to Not Get Caught.
Exactly. So I'm sitting in eighth grade science class, Mr. Reese's class, and he's got his monitor up in the front, and clock strikes 10, and the screen goes black. And he looks at me and goes, Bland, what have you done?
Because your name's on it. And the whole class is like, what?
He thinks it's just his computer.
Right, of course.
So I said, it's worse than you think.
It's worse than you think.
And at that moment, the principal comes on the intercom, says Jake Bland down to the principal's
office. Yeah, of course.
That teacher who made the dare is driving across town to intercept this confrontation. You know, I'm about to get kicked out of school. And he advocates for me in that moment. He says, I dared this kid to do it. And
now, did he know that this was going to happen? Did you tell that guy?
No, not at all. Okay. No, so it's spontaneously.
Okay, he's like, oh boy, I got to save him.
I got to save him.
Got to get him a car.
But he knew what happened because his own computer went down.
right. And your name is signed. Yeah. Once again, everybody knows who did it.
Right.
Okay.
So here's the great, you know, looking back, pivotal moments, right? God's grace in these pivotal moments. That school district had received a multi-million dollar technology grant from the federal government to invest in infrastructure for libraries, schools, hospitals, the whole community. And one of the conditions of the grant was that they would hire a kid, that they would hire kids.
Wow.
And so the superintendent of schools became a dear friend and mentor because he said, you're not in trouble.
Right.
We'd like to hire you.
Right.
And so that was my first job right out of middle school, was working on computers for the school district, really for the whole community.
So, we could do a whole podcast probably on that story alone and the lessons, positive and negative from
right.
it. I guess one thing that just came to me as you're telling that story is, you know, it's okay. Yeah, sin's not good, but just don't go too far with it. Sometimes God can use these minor infractions for positive. I guess Romans 8:28. All
exactly.
things work together for good.
Exactly.
So, okay, so now you go off to college. Where do you go?
I went to Bradley University, Peoria, Illinois.
Okay.
And I'm studying interactive media. I wanted to write software for the rest of my life.
So you had a little bit of marketing, dad's marketing gene,
yeah.
but you had your computer. So is that kind of, was that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Is the marriage of those two things?
Well, or? I always say, like, I treated computers like kids treat crayons. You know, it's like I want to build something beautiful with it.
Okay.
But then when it breaks, I snap it in half and want to throw it out the window. You know, I'm not there to fix it.
Okay.
I'm there to create.
Okay, so it's more creative. Yeah. That's the music side, maybe.
Yeah.
The creative side. It's a tool to be creative. Is that fair?
That's fair. So we wrote software for banks and hospitals and school districts and had an opportunity to travel and to...
But this is during college.
It was. Yeah.
So you had a business while going to school. You're doing this.
Right.
You're coding, building software and selling it.
Yep.
With who? With buddies from college?
Buddies from college. And actually buddies that I grew up with who were on a similar
path. Okay,
then
they all went?
They have actually stayed.
Were they at the same school?
They were not at the same college, but we went to high school together.
Okay, gotcha.
So we knew each other from high school. We all loved computers and we sort of needed this creative outlet. They're still in technology. They're still in fintech today.
That's amazing.
Which comes into the story later. But college for me was really this combination of music ministry. So we had a worship team on the college campus. Bradley's not a Christian school, but we had several hundred students that would come voluntarily every Monday night for a worship gathering, and I got to play keyboards for that. Invest in some high school students as a volunteer and to build the business. And that was my whole college. It was like the classes were great, but my primary area of focus was outside of the classroom. It was the business, and it was any opportunities to play
music. So this story is starting off much like many we've had on the podcast, where there's this entrepreneurial bent that leads to this usually circuitous but successful career.
Yeah.
Okay. And you start on that path.
Right.
So you get out of school and what happens? You continue the same business or you do something else?
Well, this is where it takes a major turn, big pivotal moment. Because I kind of got tricked into youth ministry. I got sucked in.
Right. Because after school, you just keep doing this business, right?
Exactly. It's going pretty well.
And it's the same guys?
Yeah, same guys.
So you just keep rolling.
We're building websites and we're writing software. But what happened was this local Youth for Christ director says to me, hey, we need extra cabin leaders at this camp.
Yeah.
And it's just 1 week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just 1 week.
How bad could it be?
Yeah, how bad could it be? Take a vacation week away from
the
business.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're gonna come serve at this camp.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, Jeff, what happened was this one particular kid named Josh. We're on a bus with kids who have never left their city block, let alone left the state of Illinois. We're taking these kids out to Colorado. Their faces are glued to the window. They're looking at the mountains for the first time. And this kid, Josh, had a reputation for being a rough and tough kid at camp. All week, rough, tough kid. He hears the gospel being presented at this camp, this Youth for Christ camp, and he bursts out of the back of the room and he buries his face in the grass and he just starts to wail.
Mom.
I don't know what to do.
Right.
I'm a volunteer software
web
development guy, right?
Right.
Like, so I'm leaning with the other volunteers, like, do we lay hands on him? Do we pray? How do we handle this?
Right.
And Josh looks up at us and he says, if I understood that message correctly, Jesus is offering even me a second chance. And we said, you heard that correctly. And he goes, you don't know what I've done. And you can hear, you can see the anger just festering, swelling up out of him. Well, he confessed in that moment that he had shot someone before camp.
Yeah.
And now I'm at this dilemma because obviously I believe deeply that Jesus can redeem this kid, but there are some earthly consequences
to
shooting someone before camp. And that's the moment I realize this is not a 1 week volunteer.
Right.
Because the whole Youth for Christ model is really journeying with kids 52 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
So I go back to Peoria and I'm journeying with this kid into the system, out of the system, help journey alongside him in his journey.
The legal system, going through all of this. Yep. I'm sure he's incarcerated at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
How long was that process just for that?
Well, it continued for the next couple of years of, you know, you got to do the incarceration thing, the court system, you got to build relationship, help him on the way out, establish his footing. So I went back to my business partners. That God used that story to break my heart for this mission. Because I grew up in the church. I mean, people taught me what it looked like to follow Jesus at a young age. Now I'm sitting with kids. They've never opened a Bible before. Yeah. They're hearing these stories for the very first time. God used that situation to break my heart for the mission. I went back to my business partners and said, I'm going into this nonprofit ministry thing.
Yeah.
And you and I know that wouldn't have been the only path.
Yeah.
And you've talked about this with some of your other guests. I look back on it now and I go, man, I didn't have these guys in my life that are talking about business as ministry. You know, I'm a C12 member today.
Right.
I didn't have a C12 group around me to say, hey, you could leverage your business for ministry.
Right.
I didn't even know that a missionpreneur existed.
Right.
I didn't
know
that, you know, through generosity, you could have tremendous influence on the kingdom of God. So I thought in that moment, my only option is to get out.
And that doesn't mean that's wrong either.
Sure.
Just because you didn't know maybe that those other paths or that other people didn't suggest those. You know, one of the things that we talk to people about a lot is, in their giving is, you know, rather than be prescriptive, is one of the questions we often ask is, what breaks your heart?
Mm-hmm.
And you just use that term, you know, it broke my heart to see this guy go through this. And, you know, even though you didn't, I think it's also really cool that even though you didn't know exactly how to react, you didn't really have to.
Right.
God still used you, you know, to be able to help. But that had such a profound effect on you. I just think paying attention to those moments, you know, the halftime guys would say that was a low-cost pro as a business guy,
right?
That's the term they would use, right? Wow. You're like, go for a week to camp. I'm not joining the board.
Exactly.
I'm not running the organization, you know, anyway. But I'm going for a week. And lots of us have done all kinds of volunteer things. We don't have that moment.
Yeah.
But the fact that you had that moment and that you paid attention to it, I think is more important than the theology of, you know, whether that. So you did, I think, the right thing.
God uses all of it. And I've seen people leave their business, go into ministry, and God uses them faithfully. I've seen people leverage their business for ministry, and God uses them faithfully.
Okay. But
some of the most generous people I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's not a right or wrong model, but, and that's kind of what I like about this. I think Bob Buford, who wrote Halftime, you know, he talked a lot about how when he sold his family business, he went into ministry, and he didn't want people to think that that's what you had to do.
Right.
So, you know, we've told a lot of stories about people doing it in it, but I think this is kind of neat that you did leave, actually. Now you still use these skills and sort of thing, and I'm picturing this young, so you're still in this business. I mean, you've been running it since, heck, out of middle school, basically. You're running kind of a tech business through high school, through college, 5 or 6 years into your 20s. And then I'm picturing you just showing up, I guess, to Youth for Christ, like, hey, software guy, you know, what do you want me to do? How did that transition?
It was sort of like that, but I will say there's a little more nuance than that.
Okay.
Because the moment that the Lord impressed that on my heart, all of the opportunities in youth ministry started coming out of the woodwork.
Wow.
So I had these churches contacting me saying, hey, we heard that you might be considering youth ministry.
Okay.
Would you come work with our local church?
Okay.
And I got to tell you, Jeff, my heart, my passion is for kids who are far outside the church. So those were some good deals.
Right.
Like the church was saying, we'll pay for your grad school.
Would have been easier.
You won't need a home. You won't need a vehicle.
Right.
We're going to pay for all these things, but we need you to take care of these 12 kids, you know, kind of the elders, kids, the deacons.
And
those kids need Jesus. But my heart, my passion, where I'm still called, is to kids who are far from the church, who we go to them.
Yeah.
They don't come to us because we pursue them where they are.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, Youth for Christ was not an easy option, so to speak, because there my local director saying, well, you'd have to raise all your own support to do this. And I had this negative reaction to fundraising.
Yeah.
But it was the center of the bullseye in terms of heart, passion, and calling.
And you have a neat story about how that transition got put together, right?
Yeah. Well, so, okay. So when I approached the local executive director and said, I think I'm going to jump in here full time.
Yeah.
He says to me, well, you'd need a fundraise. And I said, how little money can I raise
right.
and still keep
do this.
My job? Because I was a business guy. I wanted to write software and earn money that way. I didn't want to ask people for money.
Right.
But this is where, and I know, you know, the title of your podcast is Generosity. I mean, this is where I have had the privilege of now meeting some of the most generous people. You know, Philippians 4:17, it's not the gift I seek, but that more would be added, credited to your account.
Yeah.
We had one of our giving partners who said, Jake, when we sit down together, actually, he said this about one of our other Youth for Christ staff, to be clear, but this is the brand of a YFC staff person. He said, when you guys come in here, it's like you reach across my checkbook and into my soul.
Mm.
And that's where we want to be in this environment where we're not looking at our givers as donors. They're not transactional donors. We actually call them giving partners on purpose. Because in a business partnership, you're riding this thing up. You're in the ups, you're in the downs together.
Yeah.
And we're in those relationships with our giving partners each and every day.
I mean, the reality of the reason we're probably sitting here, one of them, is that we've been connected Youth for Christ for years, but kind of reconnected because you're building a team of people who think that way.
Right.
And that's not been the norm. And I think just encouragement to other folks in the nonprofit world who have to do development. One of the things that I always tell them is I have no tolerance for discussions around scarcity.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
God's a God of abundance.
I mean, he owns all of it. A cows with a thousand hills and when we're in these meetings with people, I mean, their hearts are filled with the desire to do generosity, and sometimes they just need permission to unlock those things, and they need partners who are, you know, friends.
Right. When you said that, it reminded me of a buddy of mine who says, you know, we all think we're competing for a slice of the pie, but God's in the pie making business.
Exactly.
You know, like,
there's no limit to this.
Yeah. And so it creates this incredible privilege. We're all about stories.
Yeah.
And that's why I love how this podcast, you're asking for people's behind the scenes story.
Yeah.
That's what we do. I mean, it's what we do in the life of a kid, but it's what we do in the life of our partners. You know, I had one CEO friend who I walk into his office, he closes the door and he says, my wife wants me to sell this business. My kids are estranged, but I know that if I sell the business, that they're going to close down the factory in this community. All these people are going to lose their jobs. And so he's carrying this incredible burden and weight about this decision. Well, you better believe in that moment as a Youth for Christ guy, I'm putting the brochures down.
Right.
And we are just entering into each other's story and praying with each other and asking the Lord for wisdom in that moment.
I mean, that is part of your story. I mean, this is catnip for me.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
And I do want to keep it back on your story, but I do think that is part of your story.
Yeah.
Is that you're in a C12 group with a bunch of business people.
Right.
You were a business person actually from a very young age, because like we talked about, your story starts a lot like most entrepreneurs doing it really early.
Yep. Yep.
And then you make the switch, but then you still get to deal with the entrepreneurs and try to use that brain and those.
Yep.
To be partners in with those folks. So that's really fascinating. But okay, but tell a story. Let's keep going with this timeline when how you joined Youth for Christ. That was a whole amazing.
Yeah, and so I thought that it would be face-to-face with kids, and I did that for 7 years, building relationships face-to-face with kids. Well, pivotal moments, right? When I met my wife, crazy story, we actually met through Youth for Christ. Won't tell the whole story.
Yeah.
You know, there's that moment of like, is this allowed?
Right.
And so we had a funny moment with our supervisor at the time where they all knew and we didn't know. But in that moment, I'm sort of going, okay, Lord, I think I got to get a day job now. Like we're not ever going to see each other if we're both in ministry.
Yeah.
And crazy pivotal moment. God gave Youth for Christ a 3-year technology grant.
Wow.
At that time.
That is amazing.
Which was a part of the national headquarters. You know, we got 1,200 locations across the U.S. And it was to build websites and software, tracking systems, outcome tracking systems for the ministries.
Better, yeah. Almost.
So I go in, take this 3-year gig on this grant funded technology position, but I say to my predecessor, the former president of Youth for Christ, I said, hey, when this grant's up after 3 years, I'm gonna go back into business.
I'm out.
Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah.
And he says, would you ever consider fundraising? Would you ever consider development? And, you know, back to what we were talking about earlier.
I'm already trying. I'd already told the other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
As little as possible.
As little as possible. But then you get into this.
Yeah.
And you get to know the heart of the giver.
Yeah.
You get to know their story. You realize that this is an incredible stewardship privilege. So I think at first it was like, well, I see that if we had more resources, we could reach more kids.
Right.
But then you really get into it and you're going, no, this is about getting to know their story. This is about the heart of the giver.
I think the point here is that in the fundraising thing, I mean, I know you still have to do it as CEO,
sure.
But how long was that your primary job?
A few years.
Okay.
Yeah, just a few years.
But I think the people like you at these big organizations, to be successful doing that, don't you have to pivot and start to look at the fundraising as a integral part of the ministry?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like it's not a necessary evil to raise the money to do the real ministry.
Yep.
It's actually part of the ministry, inviting partners to join in the thing. Is that
one of our sister organizations paid a consultant to look at their development effort, their fundraising efforts. And this consultant spent a lot of time, did a lot of interviews, and ultimately came to the conclusion, what you do with kids, do that with adults.
Exactly.
And so
run Youth for Christ for adults.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the youth has to change, but anyway, you know what I'm saying.
But the resources take care of themselves, and it's been an incredibly exciting journey because we are seeing the resources come in. We are expanding. We launched 190 new locations last year, which for us means more relationships with kids in tough places, the opportunity to share the gospel with more and more kids.
Yeah.
And so it's this incredible privilege of co-stewarding together. You know, my other friend says, this ministry of fundraising, it is spiritual before it's mechanical. So I sat with a couple last week. They want to give all of their businesses, their real estate portfolios to charity, but this is spiritual for them before it's mechanical.
Of course.
You know, like we got all the tools and I know you do too. We got all the tools to get it done, but it's not about the tools.
Exactly.
You know,
you gotta have the tools, but you gotta have the vision for what the project is.
Right.
What's the project before we get the tools out and start constructing the...
Two quotes. One, he said, we're just bozos on the bus, but at least it's God's bus. That was one of his comments.
That's pretty good.
And the other one was, he said, I want to give all this away. I want the check to the undertaker to bounce. And these are the kinds of glimpses into extraordinary generosity that both of us get. Really,
and that really is the purpose of this podcast, is to inspire people with those pictures.
Yeah.
Because I think the world is full of the other, buy bigger houses and boats and those kind of things. And it at some point, that stuff loses its luster.
Yeah.
And so where do I put my energy?
Right.
Where is the joy?
Right.
And of course, it's in that place. But okay, well, now let's kind of finish out your story a little bit. So you get the, you do the hand-to-hand combat in the ministry, if you will. You go and do the tech 3-year thing at the home office.
Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, but I'm a field guy. I'm going to go back to the field. So how does that transition go? How do you get to where you are?
Well, you know, the planning for a new president and CEO began right around COVID. So our board, our national board, went through Ruth Haley Barton's book, Discerning God's Will Together.
Okay.
They also went through Dr. Gary Hoag's book, The Council. Mm-hmm. And if your listeners haven't read those books, I would highly recommend them. Mm-hmm. They're really good books. But this board hired a search firm. They had 210 candidates. We all went through our first round interview. I had been nudged by a couple of people on the inside to say, you know, give this a shot. You should apply. Well, 210 of us went through the first round and they had to pause it for COVID.
Wow.
Well, I'm thinking in that moment, maybe something I said.
Right,
you know,
it's a euphemism for thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
You're going to widen the net.
None of us.
Right? Nobody wants to hear
it. None of us could have imagined.
Hey, I did the best interview I could. You know what? I think we're going to take a pause for a year.
Exactly. So they took a pause for a year. And you know, none of us could have imagined what that year was
of course.
But as we get back into it, I just love the wisdom of this good and godly group of people. You know, these are leaders at the highest level.
Yep.
They or their spouses are leading large companies. They've been brought together through this national nonprofit. And the wisdom of our board chair, as they got into the final interviews, there were 8, then there were 2. He said, I don't want any of you talking to each other, because we just need to be in a posture of prayer. So he actually said to them after the last interview, 24 hours of prayer, not a word to another trustee. Mm. So we leave those rooms, we get done with those interviews. And 24 hours later, they're submitting blindly their names to the board chair, and it was unanimous.
Yeah.
And it was 2 weeks or so before when Allie, my wife, and I were expecting to hear anything from the national board. You know, like, Jeff, I'm in a hoodie, I'm juggling kids, they're calling on Zoom, but they have come to this conclusion in prayer together that this will be a part of our journey going forward. And so looking all the way back, connected to that fire pit as a kid and being a youth ministry brat, this is God's grace in the arc of the story in a way that I could have never imagined. Because you're right, the business skills do apply in the nonprofit context, because we're not just about efficiency, we're not just about, you know, leveraging a strong balance sheet for growth,
right,
conservative, but we are about reaching more and more kids with the gospel. And that's because God's brought together some really talented, good, and godly people around the boardroom who are doing the same thing with their businesses.
Exactly.
And applying those talents in our space.
Well, I think I've been very impressed with your team and their approach, both to the mission, but also the business side
yep.
of it. And I think you have to have both.
Right. Right.
To be able to do it with excellence. And so I just think, and it's also, isn't God generous the way, and you're good to look back and see these pivotal moments.
Yeah.
And how generous he was to make it kind of obvious and sort of like, at least to the listener.
Right.
It seemed kind of obvious. Like you do this kind of stunt, somebody challenges you, do it in middle school, but it kind of turns into something positive. Okay.
But you don't know that at the time. And that's why I look back, a key verse in my 20s was Psalm 119. You know, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I don't know about you in your 20s.
Yeah.
Me, I wanted like a beacon for the next 200
Correct.
Steps. I didn't want a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Right.
But the beauty of that is he gives us that lamp and it's just enough light for the next step.
Exactly.
And the next step. And the next step.
One of the things we've been talking about a lot is like people... we'll often talk about lifestyle, you know, we talk about lifestyle caps and this sort of thing. And unfortunately, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about, here's the amount of money you have to spend and then just adjust for inflation.
Right.
Okay. And give us your biblical CPI and we'll just adjust for that. Right. And now we know what to do. And I think, of course, part of the reason for that is that it's individual.
Yeah.
And so these paths are all individual.
Yeah.
So like nobody's got your story. It's so unique. And what it does is drives us to our knees to daily ask what's the next step.
Exactly.
And occasionally he'll give us these sort of moments where it's like, hey, here's a grant.
Right.
Okay, well, that gets me to the home office. That doesn't necessarily mean I know that I'm going to be CEO or whatever. But he just generously puts you on this right path. And then you get to look back and see what he was up to.
Well, and those are the folks that I'm interacting with as well. We're putting these lifestyle caps in place.
Right.
Usually in the nonprofit space, it's not a income cap that you're putting on.
Right,
but
right.
I will say this. If you have any nonprofit listeners, it does need to be a lifestyle cap because the work feels unlimited and you could burn yourself out, you know, pushing it. And maybe your folks in sales who are listening too, because everything feels unlimited. Everything feels, if I chase a little bit more.
Right.
So Jeff,
a few more hours, I'll be more successful.
Exactly.
That's not necessarily true. Right?
One more trip, one more night away from home. You know, I got young kids at home, 9 and 7, and I really prayed through because I got a special needs son at home too. And I really prayed through, does that preclude me from taking on a role like
this?
And the wisdom of our national board, when we prayed through a cap on the number of nights away from home.
Wow.
And they insist upon it.
Wow.
They actually insist upon rhythms of rest because the role otherwise feels unlimited.
Wow.
So there's this Latin phrase, festina lente.
Hmm.
And it's an oxymoron. It means make haste slowly.
Wow.
And it just have adopted that as, you know, sort of a achiever.
Maximize while you're there.
Exactly.
And then leave.
Exactly. There's an urgency.
Right.
But there's a diligence to it.
Right.
You get in this state of flow almost to the point of no time has passed because you're trying to be disciplined about the haste. And that's been lessons learned later in life because like you as an achiever, we can just tend to push ourselves, but that's not what Jesus said in John 15 either. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing.
I think about it all the time about how, and we have this conversation at our company about how hard you push it.
Yep.
Some people overdo it and then they need to back off. We're just having that conversation. And the model that always comes to my head is, I mean, Jesus does his ministry for 3 years. And I don't remember the verse, Jesus ran.
Yeah.
Like he's never running. He's just like,
He actually...
Somebody's like tugging on his jacket. He turns around. I mean, nobody had the bigger job to do in 3 years. And the guy's never hustling.
Exactly. I just looked at this because he only says hurry once. And it's to Zacchaeus because he asks him to hurry out of the tree.
Yeah.
So that he
tell
can
him
run
to hurry.
Into intimacy with him.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do
hurry
with
to me
tax
so that you can chill out.
Yeah.
Right. Get it right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
And well, this has been fun. The time just flies while we're having this conversation. But you know, Jake, this has been so good. But we always try to leave this. You know, this is kind of a big arcing story. And it's still being written, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for you. But think of somebody behind you on the journey. You know, maybe they're at this sort of pivotal moment where they're trying to decide, do I leave work, do this? Do I go into ministry full time or work for a nonprofit? Do I not? It could be any stage. But what do you just sort of think about for somebody kind of behind you on this journey that's sort of wrestling with these things?
Yeah, you know, it's been a journey over the last decade or so of unlearning some high performance tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look back, if I could say this even to myself 10 years ago or 20 years ago,
exactly.
I would put even more boundaries in place.
Wow.
Like today, I've got, there's a button on our phone that will turn it from a smartphone to a dumb phone. One button, one click. And I do that every Saturday evening through Sunday evening. It's sort of like the old practice of Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
And I would have instilled that much earlier. You know, I heard a speaker at the Global Leadership Summit last year. His name's Ryan Leake. And he got up on the stage and he said, I'm going to define success by whether or not my kids want to go on business trips with their dad in 10 years.
And, oh, wow.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, because like we're in this high performance culture. We saw 40% growth last year in our ministry outcomes, another 20% this year. It's like, go, you know, uncover God's story of open a whole generation, but not lose my own.
Exactly.
And so if I could say that to someone on the journey 10, 20 years ago, I would say learn that as early as you can.
Mm.
Because raising my kids is the greatest privilege that we're in the midst of right now.
Wow. I think for a reason, that one probably hasn't come up before.
No,
we've done over 100 of these and no one said, it's almost like slow down to speed up.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep. Exactly.
But I think there's a little bit of work smarter, not harder. But if we're all honest, maybe if I worked harder, it'd still be.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Maybe the secret sauce too has been the peer groups. Like, I know you and I are both in C12.
Yeah.
We mentioned that. Like, don't go it alone.
That's so.
You know, like if we could just somehow preach to ourselves every morning, don't go it alone.
Yeah.
Lean on the expertise and the wisdom of those around us. It's sort of like the old adage, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together.
Exactly.
And that would be another lesson that I would hope to...
Your teams can help you do that.
Exactly.
Actually, I think that's a good corollary.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fantastic, Jake. Thanks for doing this. Really fun having you on. And thank you, everybody, for watching this week's Generous Business Owner podcast. And check us out on YouTube and our website, generousbusinessowner.com. And follow us on all your favorite platforms and share it with a friend. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Generous Business Owner podcast with Jeff Thomas, Alan Barnhart, and Jeff Rutt. Make sure to follow the podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can find the guest contact information in the show notes. Stay tuned for the next episode.